ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 10, text number 16. Nityam Shut Shama Dehasya Taridasyana Kankshinaha Indriyani Anusushyanti Himsapi Vinivartate Nityam, always, Shut, with hunger, Shama, weak, without necessary strength, Dehasya, of the body of a poor man, Daridrasya, poverty-stricken, Anakankshinaha, always desiring to get sufficient food, Indriyani, the senses, which are compared to snakes, Anusushyanti, gradually become weaker and weaker, with less potency, Himsa Api, the tendency to be envious of others, Vinivartate, reduces. Translation: always hungry, longing for sufficient food, a poverty-stricken man gradually becomes weaker and weaker. Having no extra potency, his senses are automatically pacified. A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the results of the austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by the saintly persons. Translation, please repeat. Always hungry, longing for sufficient food, a poverty-stricken man gradually becomes weaker and weaker. Having no extra potency, his senses are automatically pacified. A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the results of the austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by saintly persons. Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. According to the opinion of experienced medical practitioners, diabetes is a result of voracious eating, and tuberculosis is a disease of undereating. We should desire neither to be diabetic nor tubercular. Yavat arta prayojanam we should eat frugally and keep the body fit for advancing in Krishna consciousness. As well as recommended elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.10, kamasya nindripritir labo jiveta javata jivasya tattva jigyasa narto yascheha karmabhi. The real business of human life is to keep oneself fit for advancement in spiritual realization. Human life is not meant for making the senses unnecessarily strong so that one suffers from disease and one increases his an envious fighting spirit. In this age of Kali, however, human civilization is so misled that people are unnecessarily increasing in economic development. And as a result, they are opening more and more slaughterhouses, liquor shops, and brothels. In this way, the whole civilization is being spoiled. Nityam shu kama shama dehasya daridrasyana kankshina indriyani anusushanti himsapi vinivartate. Always hungry, longing for sufficient food, a poverty-stricken man gradually becomes weaker and weaker. Having no extra potency, his senses are automatically pacified. A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the results of the austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by saintly persons. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Nama Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Sapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamaya Dhanati Svaparandigam Adadanas Trinandantai Ridamya Che Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padamujo Dhulisyam Janma Janmani Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Panchakalpatrubhyascha kripa sindhubhyascha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah. So in this chapter we've been discussing about Amanigriva Nalakuvera. And we heard an elaborate description of even how they became the sons of Kubera. And being the sons of Kubera, naturally they had great opulence. Now opulence, in one sense, is good. Just like in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says one who doesn't complete his yoga practice, he takes birth in a rich aristocratic family. Because here it says, the poverty-stricken man is always looking for food. Anakakshina. He's always searching for food. One who has wealth, he already has food. He's not worried about food. He begins to worry about, unfortunately, especially in Kali Yuga, he begins to worry about how to enjoy his senses more and more. Prabhupada explains that there's two senses right in a row. The tongue, the belly, and the genital. So after satisfying the belly and the tongue, one wants to have sex life. So here it says the modern civilization, they're completely misguided. They're convinced that the purpose of life is to enjoy the senses as much as possible. So modern day, being born in an aristocratic, very opulent family, can be a detriment. In one sense, it can be good because one doesn't have to look for food. In other sense, one becomes overwhelmed. They said there's nothing more attractive than wealth. More intoxicating. Somebody gave the example that just like you put a bottle of liquor there, you won't get intoxicated. But if you put some wealth there, you become intoxicated just by being close by. Bottle of liquor being close by, it doesn't intoxicate. You have to actually drink. But wealth is such a thing, just by being close by, you become totally intoxicated. So these boys, they became completely intoxicated with their position. So much so, we've heard day after day that when they saw Narada, they were bathing in a river. Usually one bathes in a river to become purified from sinful activities. But they were engaging in more sinful activities. Enjoying with some young, beautiful girls. So when Narada came, they were so intoxicated with their wealth and opulence that the girls immediately covered themselves, but the boys stood there, naked. So Narada Muni began to consider all these things. A poverty-stricken man, he didn't have time for Sanskrit. He's always busy trying to find food. Anakakshina. Desiring food. He has to spend his whole day to get food. So where's the time to perform simple activities? His senses automatically become pacified. Says he automatically performs the austerities of a saintly person. Just like most of us, when we became a devotee, we came to the temple, oh, free food, far out. So we became devotees. We had nothing to renounce. Sadhus, they renounce everything. So for us it was very easy. We'd already renounced it, almost everything. But just like George Harrison, he was the most famous person in the world. Fabulous wealth. So many cars, beautiful house. All the intoxicating things. That he became a devotee, that is amazing. That we became devotees is not amazing. The free food. Even he told Prabhupada he wanted to move into the ashram. Just imagine. Such a person. He was so sincere, he wanted to move into the ashram. Prabhupada said, no, in the way you're living now, you can influence people more. We know. Many of us became devotees and we found out that George Harrison is into this. Must be something good. He wrote a preface to the Krishna book. With his signature there. Just by seeing that signature, people became impressed. So you could do more service that way. But generally, like it says here, once we begin to overeat, then we become agitated. And we want to enjoy more and more sense gratification. And sense gratification burns like fire. Just like if you have a fire and you pour gasoline on it, maybe because you poured the gasoline very suddenly, the fire goes out. But the next minute, it blazes even hotter. Becomes stronger. So a little sense gratification, sometimes it's satisfying in the beginning. Jai, CC Gorni Jai. C.C. Krishna Balaram, C.C. Balaram Sudralita Visaya. But one is never satisfied. He wants more and more, and he becomes more and more agitated. So Narada Muni is considering that these boys have become intoxicated with their wealth and opulence. Let me do something to put them in a situation where they have no opulence. But actually this was a great benediction because they were liberated by Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That we've been hearing about all week. So there's not much of a purport here. And yesterday was the disappearance day of Sanatana Goswami. And I really wanted, Sanatana Goswami is one of my favorites. So I really wanted to talk about Sanatana Goswami today. So there's a very beautiful Mangalacharan by Raghunath Das Goswami. This is Vilapa Kushmanjali. He's written a very nice Mangalacharan for Srila Sanatana Goswami. He says, Vairaga Yuga Bhakti Rasam Prayat Nair Apaya Mam Anabitsa Mandam Kripambudir Kripambudir Yer Paraduka Duki. Kripambudir Ya Paraduka Duki Sanatanam Tam Prabhu Ashrayami. Viraga Yuga Bhakti Rasam. We're not interested, we were talking about renunciation of the sadhus, but we're not interested in dry renunciation. Bhakti Rasam. Our Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur translate rasa as something very tasty. Bhakti rasam. Just by tasting that bhakti ras, we automatically become renounced. Vairaga yuga bhakti rasam prayat nair. Apaya mam anabhisra mandam. Andam, I was in the darkest of ignorance. I did not want that very wonderful, sweet thing, bhakti rasam. Just by hearing it, you become attractive. Prayat nair, but by force, the Sanatana Goswami has made me drink this very sweet thing. By force. So he's a Kripambudir. He's a great ocean of mercy. Paradukaduki. This is the position of the sadhu. He has Krishna consciousness. He's happy, but he's only unhappiness to see others unhappy. When we're intoxicated by opulence, we don't care about others. But Sanatanam, he's paraduka duki. He's always kind to those who are unhappy in this material world. Sanatanam tam Prabhu Ashrayami. That sannyas, that Sanatana Goswami is my Prabhu and my goal of my life. My shelter. Ashrayami, he's my shelter of my life. So in South India, in Karnataka, there was a great king named Sarvagya Jagadguru. And he was a very illustrious Brahmin. Saraswat Brahman, the Bhardwaj caste. And he had Aniruddha as his son. And Aniruddha had two sons, Rupeshwara and Harihar. And as the nature of this material world, that younger son kicked out the older son and took over the kingdom. So Rupeshwar moved to another country. Then his descendants, they finally, to enjoy communication with the Vaishnavas, they moved to Naihati. in Bengal. Very nice communication of Vaishnavism there. And finally, there was one Kumardev. And he moved to some place near Jessore. Nobody knows exactly where. But Jessore is in one of the large cities of Bangladesh. I've been there, a very beautiful place. Completely flat, and just coconut palms and banana trees. That's all you see in the horizon for miles and miles. And somebody, although they don't know the exact spot, somebody donated some land to commemorate Rupan Sanatan's birth there. Because Kumaradev had 5 sons, the chief of which was Rupa. Sanatan was eldest, Rupa, and Anupam, who later became known as Sri Balam. So anyway, I've been there. That you go through the jungle, nothing but banana trees and coconut palms, and suddenly you see this huge temple looming on the horizon. Rupa Sanatan Smriti Tirth, very beautiful place. We don't know the exact place, so we call it Smriti Tirth, to remember them. And gradually, Rupan Sanatan and Nupam, they all moved to communicate again, have nice communication with the Vaishnavas. They moved to Goda. Therefore, we're Gaudiya Sampradaya. They moved to Godadesh. I've been there. I went on a safari with Jayapataka Swami one time. We went to Godadesh. Very beautiful green place. And completely flat. They built so many earthen dams to keep the water away, keep the rivers at bay. So there was ruling Nawab Hussain Shah. And naturally, to protect his kingdom, because everything is very flat, he wanted a high place. Because for a lookout, you need a high place. So he ordered his minister to build some sort of a tower. The minister was very clever. He knew that Sanatana Goswami was very, very intelligent. So he asked him to design this tower. And we saw this, still, even after 500 years, it's still standing. He built it so nicely. So when he came, he saw this beautiful tower. He said, "Who built this?" He said, "I did." His minister told him, "I built it." "No, no, you're not so intelligent." "Who built this?" Then he pointed out, that time he had another name, Amar. So he, and Rupa was known as Santosh. So he thought, this person is so intelligent, he would be great as my minister. So though Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami, they didn't want to join the Muslim minister. Hindu society was very somewhat conservative those times. If you were serving under a Muslim minister, you were rejected from the Brahmin society. But if he refused, so he became the prime minister and gave him another name, Sakar Malik, and Dabir Khas to Rupa Goswami. Rupa Goswami became the treasurer and Sanatana Goswami being the prime minister. And they began to hear about that in Navadvip, not far away, there was this wonderful Nimai, who was preaching love of Godhead. But one day they learned that he had gone to Puri, had taken sannyasa, gone to Puri. Then they lost all hope. Sometimes we know Nimai had gone to Bangladesh to on his tour. But when he went to Puri, they lost all hope that they would ever meet Nimai. But we know that Lord Chaitanya decided to go to Vrindavan. But it's very interesting. Vrindavan is west, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went north. He came to Bengal. To Navadvip. He met all his grieving mother and everything. From there he traveled to Godadesh. So many people, that's took me even farther north. So many devotees believe that actually Mahaprabhu wasn't planning to go to Vrindavan. He had planned to save Rupa and Sanatan. And in their place, in Godadesh, they made a Madan Mohan temple. Very interesting, they made Madan Mohan. They planted so many trees from Braj, Kadamba, and Tamal tree. I saw that Tamal tree. We went on that safari. They made their little Vrindavan there. Mahaprabhu came there. And from a distance they paid their obeisances, but Mahaprabhu called them close. And he discussed many secret things and told them to study Srimad Bhagavatam and somehow they get free to join him. Then we know Mahaprabhu was going in the road with thousands of people. Sanatana told him, this is no way to go to Vrindavan with thousands of people following you. After all, there's no Krishna Balaram guest house, there's no MBT guest house. Where will all these people stay? You should go simply to Vrindavan. They got as far as Kanai Natshala, then they decided that Mahaprabhu decided Sanatana Goswami was correct. Then he went back. Meanwhile, somehow or other, Rupa Goswami got free. We must have told that story yesterday, huh? They bribed the... He stopped going to the court, was sitting with so many people, so many pundits, discussing Srimad Bhagavatam. And the king walked into his house, even with his shoes on, said, what are you doing? You've been giving sick report, but I sent my physician. He said, nothing wrong. You're sitting here with some Hindu pundits and discussing Hindu scriptures. He says, I can't serve you anymore. Your next campaign is to go to Orissa to disturb the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Jagannath. How can I be involved in that with a person like that? All right, then I throw you in jail. He was thrown in jail. Then yesterday you must have heard how he got out of jail. Rupa Goswami, before he had left some money with a grocer and he bribed that jailer to get free. And he headed toward Vrindavan. He knew that Mahaprabhu had gone to Vrindavan. But Mahaprabhu was already coming back. He met him at Kashi. He met him at Kashi, and there's in Madhya Leela so many, one whole chapter is there about Sanatana Siksha. He taught everything to Sanatana Goswami. He was staying there in the house of Chandrasekhar. and taking his meals with Tapan Misra. The Mahaprabhu came and Sanatan said, there's a great Vaishnava outside. Well, Mahaprabhu said, there's a great Vaishnava. Chandrasekhar went outside because Sanatan Goswami had grown his beard, everything like a Muslim. He said, no, there's just some Muslim beggar there. Then you bring him in. And on the way to Kashi, to the Jharkhand forest, he had caught some skin disease, eczema. So Chandrasekhar brought that Muslim fakir in, and Mahaprabhu began to embrace him. He said, no, don't touch me, don't touch me. Oh, this pus is oozing, blood is oozing. He said, no, I'm touching you to become purified, because the touch of the pure devotees of the Lord purifies one. Then on Dasasmay Ghat, he spoke to Sanata Goswami. Very important chapters in Chaitanya Charitamrita. So anyway, Mahaprabhu sent him to on to Vrindavan. He used to spend his time between Vrindavan and Navadvip. And always whenever he came, Puri. Always whenever he came to Puri, Mahaprabhu would always embrace him. But he still had his sores. So he was a little perturbed what to do. So without telling anyone, he decided he was going to throw himself under the wheels of Jagannath cart during Rath Yatra and end his life, so Mahaprabhu wouldn't touch him. And Mahaprabhu, he didn't reveal this desire to anyone. But Mahaprabhu is in everyone's heart. He knows everything. He says, Sanatan, this body doesn't belong to you. This body belongs to me. And I have many services to do through this body. Don't do this thing. Then Mahaprabhu embraced him and all his sores went away. So then he told Sanatana to go again to Vrindavan. You find out Madan Mohan. And you find out a nice place. Mahaprabhu was going to come again to Vrindavan. Of course, he never did. But he told him like that, find out a nice place for me to stay. So in Dwajasatitila, he found a nice place. And he began to clean it and fix it up. And you must have heard yesterday how he found this Madan Mohan in Chobe's house and brought him back to Vrindavan. He wanted to go with Sanata. And you must have heard yesterday about how you heard about the bhatis. He was feeding these old dry bhatis with no salt. Even today, although Ram Das Kapoor came with his boat and built a nice temple, arranged for a nice boga, even today they still offer these old dry bhatis with no salt. If you want one, you have to go to Sanatana Goswami's Samadhi Mandir and beg the pujari for one. You get those old dry bhatis with no salt. Then there was one poor man lived nearby. He was a great devotee of Lord Shiva. He began to pray to Lord Shiva that I'm so poor, I have nothing, just like we're reading. Please give me something so I never have to be hungry again. I never want anything else. So gradually Lord Shiva was pacified, satisfied with this poor Brahmin. He said, "Do you want the most valuable thing?" He said, "Yes, I want the most valuable thing." Then you go to Vrindavan, to Dwadasa Jitatila on top of the hill. You find out Sanatana Goswami, and he will give you the most valuable thing. So he was very happy. He ran to Vrindavan. He found out Sanatana Goswami. He said, "I prayed to Lord Shiva. He said that from you I would get the most valuable thing." "Yes, you want a touchstone? What's a touchstone?" "Anything you, any metal you touch it to will become gold." "Oh, wow. That's over there in the trash pile." So he dug in a trash pile, he found this stone, he touched some metal, it became gold. "Gold! I'm rich." He went through the village, touching everything, making it into gold. One man said, "Where did you get this?" "Oh, from Sanatana Goswami." "Really? Does he have more?" "I don't know. He was keeping it in the trash heap." "In the trash heap? And you say this is the most valuable thing?" "Maybe not." So he went back and fell at Sanatana's feet. He said, "Gosai, you promised me the most valuable thing. Touchstone is not working?" "Oh yeah, it works fine. But why are you keeping it in the trash?" "Oh, you want the most valuable thing." He said, "Take that touchstone and throw it in the Jamuna." He looked at that touchstone. He said, "You want the most valuable thing? Then throw that touchstone in the Jamuna." Finally did. He threw it in the Jamuna. And Sanatana Goswami, "Sit down here and chant with me. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare." So Sanatana Goswami engaged some of his disciples to worship Madan Mohan, and he went traveling throughout Braj. And Bhakti Ratnakar describes his great love for the Brijbasis. He would travel from village to village, searching out Krishna's pastime places. And he was so dear to the Brijbasis were so dear to him. Whenever he'd come, they come running out of the village. Those who were older would pat him on the head. Those who were equal age would embrace him. Those who were younger would touch his feet. "So, Baba Gosai, Baba Gosai, where have you been? We missed you for so much." And they would take him in the village, feed him some chaat, some butter, some milk. And he would listen to the Brijbasis, all about their problems and everything. And he asked them, "What about, is your children married?" And they would say, "Oh yes, how many children, how many grandchildren? Oh, I have so many." Everything he would listen to the Brijbasis. Brijbasis loved him so much. And the next day when he got to leave, they would all come crying, "Where are you going? How can you leave us?" Those who were elders said, "Oh my dear son, how can you leave us like this?" Those who were equal, "Oh, my brother, how can you go away?" Those who were younger, "Oh, Uncleji, how can you leave us?" And they would walk out of the village with Sanatana Goswami. Great difficulty, he would get them back. This way, whatever village he went to, Bhakti Ratnakar describes very sweetly. He would give them advice on what crops to plant, where to plow, all types of advice. How to cure their diseases. But then again, the same scene. He would try to leave, and the same scene would repeat. Finally, he came to a place not far from Kokilavan called Betan. And there the Brijbasis, they stopped him. He tried to leave in the morning. He said, "No, my son, my uncle, my brother, how can you leave us like this? You stay 2 more days. So Sanatana Goswami was so attached to the Brijbasis, he would stay for 2 more days in that village. And then somehow they would follow him out of the village, he would bring them back, and he would go to the next village. This way he was very, very dear to all the Brijbasis. And he stayed many different places. There's a nice Bhajan Kutir in Pavan Sarovar. And with Bhajan Kutir there, Dvadasajita Tila. Eventually he spent the last days at Manasi Ganga. Just near the temple of Chakleshwar. When Krishna was lifting the hill, his Sudarshan Chakra came and chased all the water away. Then it came to rest at that place, known as Chakratirth. So there's a big, tall temple of Chakleshwar Mahadev. 5 lingas. And right behind the 5 lingas, there's a carving of Giriraj Lila. Very beautiful place. So, but there's water, Manasi Ganga. It's very hot. It's like we're sweating like anything. So water and heat, who comes? Mosquitoes. Mosquitoes were bothering him. I can't do him a budget. I'm going somewhere else. He packed up his old things. Not like you with 2 Samsonite suitcases. Lotar Kambo, Saduka Sambo. Blanket and lota, that is the luggage of the sadhu. And some old Brahmin came and said, "Baba, Baba, where are you going?" He said, "Too many mosquitoes here. I can't stay and do my bhajan." Oh, that is a problem. Then he revealed himself as none other than Chakleshwar Mahadev. He was enjoying the association of Sanatana Goswami. He said, "You don't worry about a thing. I will go see the demigod in charge of the mosquitoes, Machar Dev." And no mosquitoes will ever come in this place. Even today, if you stay there at that place, there's no mosquitoes. Beautiful Gornirai temple, right across the street from Chakleshwar. Nice place to stay. And every day, Sanatana Goswami was doing Govardhan Parikrama. Not the regular 22-kilometer one that we do. He was doing a 27-kilometer Parikrama, including some outside places. Even in his old age. And suddenly some young boy appeared. He said, "What are you doing, Baba? You're too old for this." He said, no, you speak respectful to your elders. This is my vow." No, you're old man now. You sit down and do your budget. Don't do this. You speak respectful to your elders. This is my vow. I must do this." Then that young boy picked him up, put him on his shoulder and began to run. He said, no, this is not my vow. Stop." Then he revealed himself as none other than Sri Krishna. "So all right, if you insist, Then Krishna took one Shila from the hill, put his footprint, put his flute print, put his latuki, what do you say, cowher stick, and his, had his calf put her hoof print there. He said, you take this Shila, you do four times around, that's as good as doing Govardhan Prakrama. That Shila is now in Radha Damodar temple. So yesterday was also a big feast called Guru Purnima, the appearance of Vyasadev. Vyasadev is original. We're sitting on what? Vyasasan. We're representing Vyas. So it was called Guru Purnima. Every year on Guru Purnima Day, all the Vaishnavas of Braj, all the sadhus of Braj, Vaishnava sadhus, they used to come to Sanatana Goswami. And he would take them on Prikama of Manasi Ganga. There's so many places of Manasi Ganga, we can do whole Prikama of Manasi Ganga. Every year in the Sasar Purnima, they would all come. So one year, probably was around 1485, I can't remember just now. They all came on Purnima. And they called out, Radhisham, Radhisham, Haribo, Haribo, and there was no answer. And they looked inside the kuti, and Sanatana Goswami had entered the eternal leelas of Radha and Krishna. And all the Vaishnavas were crying, hoi, hoi, hoi. Then they took his body and brought it here to Vrindavan at the feet of Madan Mohan. Down below, there's beautiful Samadhi Mandir of Sanatana Goswami. A few years ago, some of our Russian devotees have established incredibly beautiful deity of Sanatana Goswami there. Very lovely deity of Sanatana Goswami there. So this is the disappearance pastime of Sanatana Goswami. Srila Sanatana Goswami Prabhu Maharaj Ki. Any questions or? Yeah, backside. Yeah, generally, it's a big day for the Mayavadis. But I've seen in Vrindavan, even the Vaishnavas have begun to follow also. But Prabhupada never paid much attention to Guru Puri. We celebrate on the appearance day. Of course, it's the appearance of Vyasadeva, so we can celebrate that. But no special ceremony for the Guru. The Guru's appearance day is we do Vyas Puja.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Yes, like we have brought up that Sanatana Goswami was so dear to the Vasa. And as he explained also, he was going to different villages and he was hearing the problems. So he was just hearing the problems or he was going out for something?
No, he was giving them advice also. I told him how he would give them advice how to cure their diseases, how to grow their, which crops to grow at certain times. And he give practical advice also. I believe it is Raghunath Das Goswami says, I don't want to have the associate of the pure devotees. I don't want to go to the Vaikuntha where the pure devotees are worshipping the Lord. I just wanted the Brijbasis, pour their nonsense talk in my ear, but I will not take one step out of Braj. So there's so many things to say about Sanatana Goswami. I watched Mohan Rupa, the president of Delhi yesterday, talked for an hour, but he has 2 hours of pastimes of Sanatana Goswami. It's going to be published on the internet soon, 2 hours of pastimes. On the GBC strategic paneling page or channel. 2 hours of pastimes you can talk about Sanatana Goswami. Yesterday I know they talked a little bit, so I tried to some rarer pastimes and his disappearance pastime. Srila Sanatana Goswami Pada Ki.